Hello, everyone, and welcome to another installment of Merlin's Monsters. This is the behind-the-scenes podcast, so if you're looking for Emma and Dan, you've probably made a wrong turn. But Drew's here.
Hello!
And so are Derek and Annie.
Hey, that's me.
And if you don't know by now, I am Alexandra Monroe. Today we have a special guest. He is our master mixer, editor extraordinaire, and musical maestro, my best friend and more, Dennis S. Mowers.
Hey, that's me. It's weird being on the other side of this.
You're going to have to listen to your own voice later.
I know, yeah. I'm going to hate it.
Hey, Dennis, what's up?
I'm here. I don't know how to respond to that.
Just, how are you? How's things? How's life?
I'm good. I'm tired.
I wouldn't know what your life is like because
I don't
live with you.
Yeah, it's not like you're my wife or anything.
Okay.
Aww.
I'm actually Dennis's wife.
Oh, no.
Wait, what?
When did that happen?
So today's episode, since we have the four writers and our editor in the room, we are going to be talking about our process and what it was like to create the show. And it has origins from 2020. So we are going back a few years and kind of talking about like how it came to be and everything. To start, it was well into COVID. It was August of 2020. So All of us had been living, Dennis and I were living in Brooklyn. Annie was in Jersey. Derek was on Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Drew was up in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were all scattered everywhere and we couldn't see each other. Like, I don't think we'd seen each other, I think, until like 21.
Like right now. Like, we haven't seen each other in years.
So it was a very long time, but it was, so a lot of our meetings, our early meetings were on Zoom, and it took a long time for everything to come together because we were pretty much just forming the story. And I had come to, I kind of asked everybody, assembling a team sort of thing and said, like, hey, who wants to write for this idea that I have? Making an audio drama, and I just really want this to be a thing. And Derek and Annie were the first writers to join, and then Drew joined us later on. And then we just kind of like met every week, I think on Wednesdays, over Zoom. And we just kind of like talked about the story and like what we wanted to explore. We would always get ahead of ourselves and talk about like, oh man, like, when this is a thing, we can have all this cool merch and all this stuff and, you know, get too far. But then we'd have to be like, all right, well, we don't have a show yet. So then eventually we started doing outlines. So we were outlining episodes and season one was very short. It was 6 episodes. But I think like in those 6 episodes, we created this very start to finish in a way story that was really fun and really cool. So after we started outlining, we started writing the drafts. We did, I think, like 3 or 4 drafts for season one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3.
Something
no.
like that.
No, it was You're like right. 4 You're or right. 5,
yeah.
I think.
Because we have workshops.
Yeah. So, yeah. So after we did the drafts, we started workshopping and we just kind of called in our actor friends and most of them ended up joining the cast. So we kind of, it was like really cool and they all liked it. They all thought it was really awesome. We got feedback from people and that we rewrote again. And then eventually we put out an audition notice. We casted the show and then we started recording. And recording took from February to December of 2022. So we were still recording for a very long time.
Long time.
Yeah. And like that was okay because, you know, I think we wanted the show to be like near perfect, I think. And I think it is.
Also, none of us had ever done anything like this before.
No.
So we had a lot of growing pains to go through, but I think we're pretty good.
Yeah. I think we did a really good job with everything. And then the show released in November of 22, and it's been well received. So thank you all for listening. I know we say it every single time, but it truly means the world that you've supported us from just starting the show over Zoom calls to now we're heading into the second season, and I think that that's just like amazing.
So weird to think about.
Yeah.
Like, how much we've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the first question I'm going to ask might be is for all of you, what was the most exciting part about this process for everybody?
I think when we first were developing, like, the cryptids and such, and I think developing the characters, but also working with the actors, it's really hard mm-hmm. to pinpoint, because I think once we had the actors in studio, it really became like, holy cow, we're doing a thing, and people are acting on our words that we've had, and all that fun stuff. Like, I know a lot of us also came from, like, playwriting backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys know, but Alex writes musicals.
Hey!
She's pretty cool.
Got a whole diploma that says it and everything.
Yeah.
And also, I came from playwriting. Derek came from playwriting, I believe. And then mm-hmm. Drew came from screenwriting? Or
no.
Just prose, right?
Drew came
no,
from
not
D&D.
Even.
Like,
I came from D&D
from
writing,
Dungeons
yeah.
But, so I guess, like, seeing, like, it in person, like, in that format with voice actors and stuff, that was like crazy. Mm-hmm. I think that was the best process for me.
Well, I think that, like, in my experience, it's hard to really pinpoint it. I always say that it's really fun to hear actors hear your words that you wrote in their mouth, and like they figure out how to, like, where to take it and everything. But I know distinctly there was one point that I actually was brought to tears, and that is when the credits rolled on the first episode. After I finished listening, I was just like, oh my God, we did it. We did a thing. Because it's like that's what, for me, what made it like so real. Because like there are so many things where like even in like, because we've been in plays and like musicals and stuff like that, you never get to see or watch or listen to, when you're a stage actor, your finished product. Because it's always acting it out. But like, at the end, when everything's recorded and everything's put together, music, literally everything, it's like, oh my God, this is a thing that's out there in the world that people can listen to now. And that's incredible. So I'd say that's probably it.
I think for me, truthfully, the whole process has been kind of a blur. I mean, I wasn't really there for the recording process just because of how the schedules worked out. And I don't remember exact details on a lot of the like writing of it, other than the fact that like it was hard. but I do remember when Alex first approached us, it was like, I have a story and I'm thinking of putting it together, and I'd really like you guys to be a part of it if you'd like. And at first I remember thinking like, well, thank God, because I can't just not like go to work and then be living in a pandemic and then go back home anymore. Like, I need something to do. We had all graduated over a year after or before all this, and I know I was going a little stir crazy, being like, well, what are we doing? What am I doing with my $30,000 theater degree, you know? So initially, just I was grateful for the opportunity to do anything. And then seeing it organically turn into something tangible and something that I think is like it's a real endeavor with people that I love and care about. And like, I remember like we hit 1,000 streams and being like, that's crazy. That's nuts. That we have that many friends. That's cool as hell. and now we're at like 43,000 all time, which is just insane to think about at the time of this recording.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like, I mean, it feels real, but it feels like, you know, I'm glad that we can do it. I'm glad to know that it's possible, and that we've been able to create the opportunity for ourselves. And I think that's the main takeaway for me for this.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me it's because I went through production and post-production and all this, and I did read like the scripts as they were coming out and everything. I think it was the coolest part for me was seeing this thing grow from like reading words on a page and like, you know, hearing it in a certain voice to now you've attached actors to this. And so it's like, you know, from reading like there are very little things that scare me to hear being in the booth and hearing Dan on my headphones record that to mixing that down, putting sound effects on it and everything. It's like, and it's out there. It's crazy, like, watching that evolution happen.
I think, you know, listening to everybody, what everybody's saying, it's just, it's so cool because I agree with all of it, you know? Coming from, like, a theater background and always wanting to just act, but I've always, like, written on the side. And we're all interested in the same things, like, whether it's, like, folk tales and storytelling and horror and thriller and sci-fi. So I did pick a good crew to do this, and I think that was the most exciting part, was getting to write with all of you and see your work come to life, because it just meant, like, it filled my heart with so much joy to be in the booth with the actors and hear them say lines that, like, because I remember reading episode 2, and I think I talked about this in the first Merlin's Monsters, where Peter takes, like, puts the ointment in his hair, and he says, "If you're such a good detective, Jack, how did you never guess it was me?" And I was like, I can't wait to hear this, like, acted out. And the delivery on it was just, like, immaculate. And then in episode 6, when the flashback scene occurred with Dan, and Jack, rather, when Dan read that out loud, and we kind of, like, experimented with how it was reading. Drew and I were both, like, I think...
We both cried.
Yeah, we both cried.
Yeah, we were both like, oh, my God!
So, I mean, yeah, it is hard to pick, like, one exciting part of the process, but I think watching everyone's work come to life. And, you know, like, kind of, like, to bounce off what Drew was saying about... Because theater is so present, like, in the present moment. You know, you're, like, experiencing it right then and there, and... You may not experience it the same way ever again, unless you get a recording of the show, of course. But I think that's why I like theater, but that's also why I kind of, like, moved away from it. And then, like, to hear what Derek was saying about, oh, like, we graduated college, like, what do we do now? And to be post-grad in a world that is completely shut down was, like, so difficult. It took a toll on all of us. Mm-hmm. Because, like, exactly, it's like, and then you see, like, other people being successful, and you're like, damn, like, but at the same time, it was, like, eerily comforting, but, like, not comforting at all to know that everybody was kind of in the same boat. And I did want to create this opportunity for my friends who had just moved to New York City or were, like, New York City adjacent. A lot of our friends are voice actors, like, in our close friend group. So it's Drew, Annie, and Lucas. And I was like, oh my God, like, what if I could create something that they could all be a part of? That's what I want to do. And here we are. I don't know. It was fun. And then, you know, Dennis is a composer and he's really talented, and I may be biased, but it's true. Like, he does incredible work, and he's very thoughtful about the work that he puts in.
Biased with merit, I think, is a good way to say it.
I think that, like, every time I hear a compliment from somebody about the show, especially recently, like the past week or two, a lot of people have come up to me while I was back home, and, like, I love the podcast, but their number one compliment is that the production design and, like, the sound is just so, it's professional level, and it's so, so good and inventive and creative. And that's true. It's an incredibly, like, it's professional grade because Dennis is the real deal. And I'm glad that I get to actually tell you that in a room to your face now. So that's cool.
Instead of me hearing it afterwards.
Yeah, no, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Like a disembodied voice being like, you're gray.
Where the voice is inside Dennis's head at all times. That's why his hair is gray.
It's just like your mind is... I always say this. I'm always like, Dennis has such, like, a, like, your mind goes in directions that I just don't even think of when it comes to certain things. Like, huh, I never thought that the sound would sound like that. Or, like, I would never think that that music would kind of carry over the way that it did. And then you just capture what we've written so wonderfully on that. So,
yeah. Thank you.
What was your process like for when you approached, like, all the audio files, and how would you start tackling the episodes, I guess?
Well, so it started out kind of strangely because when like the recording process started, we were both still in grad school.
Mm-hmm.
And Murphy episode one was my capstone. And at first, like, the professors didn't know that it was just episode one, because I said, oh yeah, we're going to be doing a full season and I'm going to like do part of it as my capstone. And there was this misunderstanding where they're like, oh, you're only doing one episode? And I was like, oh my God, do they not think it's going to be enough work? And so I ended up being like, I'm going to have to like really sell this, because they think I'm going to be doing six times the amount of work, but it's literally not possible because we don't have the stuff recorded for them. So that's when I was like, let me do live music. Let me do like really, really, really like crazy sound design for stuff. So that way it'll at least, I don't know, be more of a finished product. And it ended up kind of carrying over into the rest of the episodes. But no, I very much do this in order, because I think it just works out easier that way. If I have to go back and edit it, like, I just start like scene one at 0 seconds, start putting together a scene, then go flesh that out with sound design, move on to the next scene, or I can do music as I'm going to.
So you were basically like, well, I'm putting so much effort into this one episode, I got to make them all sound.
Yeah, which is also, it's why episode one took a lot longer to make than any of the others. Partly because, you know, getting used to it, never done it before.
Oh, yeah.
All that kind of stuff, especially when it comes to, like, finding musicians and mixing the live music and everything. But also, you know, February to May, I need to like finish this thing and present different parts of it in class and get approval on stuff, and then I could move on.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you know if your professor listens to the show or not?
He does.
Hey.
I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it recently. His name's Pat Irwin. He's great.
That's right.
Friend of the show, Pat Irwin.
Yeah. He was very, very supportive throughout the entire process of episode one. And we saw him shortly after I graduated, and he was like, oh my God, I'm so excited for episode two. I hear it's about werewolves. And he's been very, very nice about it. So.
Pat is the most wholesome person I've met. We've been to, he's a musician, so he'll do like shows in the city and everything. So we've been to, he came and did something. He was doing something at like a library. And then we saw him later, and he was just like, the coolest person.
Yeah, he's the
ever.
Nicest guy.
Yeah. So thank you, Pat, for being so supportive. Yay. you thought the first question was hard. This might be even harder. Or it might be easy. I don't know. I don't know how your brains work.
Poorly.
What was the most difficult part of the process for everyone?
I can answer that immediately. It was the writing of the episodes. like, the outlining process was really helpful. And I think that, I mean, if I can speak on the process for this season as well, we had a much easier time outlining the episodes this season than the first one, specifically because we had a roadmap of, like, where we were starting from and where we were leading to. And we were kind of just building it from the ground up this first time. So that part, while it was also the most creatively, like, liberating, I think, for me, leading into the actual writing of the episodes felt very difficult. And I know that I struggled a lot with writing my episode for a while. I remember like texting you all the time with like, I don't know if I can do it. I'm stuck. I don't know what I'm doing. And you were just very helpful the entire time. And having that grounding reassurance that like, we were all doing this together and that it was going to be okay and it will get done. It really helped get me out of the block, I think. But dude, it felt like I have never had a kidney stone, but I can imagine it is like the same level of discomfort as writing a script sometimes. It wouldn't come out. And like, I had to like,
Would you say they're both pretty?
I can't. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
It wouldn't come out. Oh my God.
The kidney stone analogy is very solid.
Yeah. Well, so is the kidney stone. That's why it won't come out.
Holy Jesus.
Yeah, I'd say they're both pretty hard.
Yep. But, very good.
But go home.
Yep, you're done. But just like, I don't know. It's tough, but it's also like, it's like stretching a muscle. There were parts during the writing for this season that felt a lot easier because of how season one went. And there are still the same challenges for sure. But I also feel more confident now in my writing than I did at the start of the process as well. So, definitely the most challenging part, but also the most rewarding.
So for kind of the writing, I think for season one, definitely it's like that was a hurdle to come over, is going from one form of writing to the next. I think writing in audio drama format is something that I know we had to redo episode two a lot, especially the fight scene. I remember I was getting so frustrated. I was like, oh my God, but like, I can't convey this correctly. But that's just kind of the process as I learned over time. And again, going into this season, it was a little bit more like, all right, I got this. But also for me, so I'm also co-produced with Alex. I do a lot of back-end stuff, and I also try to assist with recordings, things like that, you know, all that fun jazz. So I think the one thing is just when you are an artist and you cannot support your art solely on your art, just like working full time and then also devoting your time to your passion projects, I think that proved to be the most difficult. Just in terms of like scheduling, getting everyone in person, collaborating. I think that's something that speaks out to the cast as well. And everyone here is that we do give so much of our time to Murphy, but it can be a challenge sometimes when you're scheduling and trying to get everything together and put a piece out there. I think that's something that's been a long conversations lately about artists and how, you know, everyone works 9 to 5s and like just struggling to survive. Like these two had grad school while working on this project. So yeah, definitely for me to summarize, it would be going from playwriting prose to audio drama format. And then also I think just, you know, being a human being while also creating the art you want to create, you know? So yeah.
For me personally, it was knowing when it's finished. Because like when the script is good enough, because I kept, you know, how I wrote for season one is I wrote a bunch of stuff and oh God, I was thinking about like the first run through of episode 6, the other day. And I was just like, oh God, that is so bad. But like, then it gets to a point of like, okay, I'm happy with this. What can I do to make it better? Okay, I've made it better. What can I do to make it even more better and even more better, and even more better? And then, and of course, like the amount of stuff I do to I like fix or like, you know, quote unquote fix or like change, that stuff gets more and more like smaller, more and more like, you know, fine detailed. So it's just like, for me, it was knowing when to be like, okay, this is good. I don't need to keep doing this. Like, if not for like, and you know, I would, but if not for like, okay, this needs to be fully done by this time. It's like, okay, but I can make it even better. It's like, no, it's good enough. Yeah, so that's probably mine, is just knowing when something is good.
I think for me, it was getting all of the moving parts to get where they're going at the exact right time. Because working with live music was great and it helped, I think, the score a lot. But at the same time, trying to find the musicians and reaching out to them, making sure they get the recordings back on time. And, oh, actually, I don't think we got this at this actor's recording this line. So now there's this like empty space that I need here. Oh, also, wait, did I ever reach out to this person about getting the rights to this song? Or like anything like that, and getting it all to happen at the exact same time so that we could get closer to release and not just have this project sitting here with about 5 seconds of audio missing that I needed to fill. That was probably the hardest part.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, listening to all that too, just like, I also agree. I think that, like, we did have, because, yeah, like Annie said, it is hard to exist nowadays, but like, as artists, I'm learning as an artist that you don't need to struggle mm-hmm. in order to do art. Like, it's still going to be really, really hard to find the time and, like, be dedicated to it. And some days you're really, really tired. But, mm-hmm. You know, for me at least, like, writing is, like, my escape. And just putting my time and effort into something like Murphy, because I'm always thinking about this show and I'm always just... it'd be cool to do this and blah blah blah, blah. And I think this will help the story and help the characters, but you know, writing is hard. It's hard work, and if it wasn't, I think that you know a lot more people would do it and just kind of, it's like an equation. Listen, I'm terrible at math, okay? I hate math. But writing is kind of like my way of like putting formulas together and like I finally understand plot and character development and all that stuff. And it is always a learning process. You're going to keep learning as you go. And also with like Drew said about knowing when it's good enough. I think that when I left college, and I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but, you know, or like even grad school, people like your professors, they can guide you and only give you so much help, but then after that you're on your own. You have to like decide for yourself like when it's good enough, and that's so hard. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think for me the most difficult part was keeping it going and finding the, not motivation per se, but kind of like finding like what is driving me to tell this story and why am I doing it, and kind of keeping, because like, you know, I'm the fearless leader, as I've been called, but at the same time I'm like, I have to be the one to get everybody to keep like being inspired, and that's hard. It is hard to be in like the EP executive producer position. Yep. And like, it's fun, and I love being here. I love being able to like encourage everybody, but I do find it difficult. And I think a lot of it was just this anxiety of, what if nobody really cares? What if nobody wants to do this? What if I'm crazy? You know, what if it never works out? And I think that, like, kind of like Jack finally facing his fears at the end of the season, you know, you just have to, like, dive in and you have to see it. Maybe you'll sink, maybe you'll float, but you never know.
That's it. I feel like that's for any, like, that's, like, such a good way of putting it, is, like, with art is like the drive of keeping it going. Why am I telling a story? I think that's why so many times, I don't know if you guys could attest to this or also you, I'm pointing at Dennis and also Derek.
You'll never know.
But I think that's another thing is there's stories that I want to tell and I just tell them. And the reasoning is there in the writing, but then just having your brain wrap around, like, why do I want to do this? And sometimes it could be a hindrance, and sometimes it could be helpful. Just kind of maybe killing your darlings a little bit, and also just, like, shunning away your insecurities and just throwing yourself full into the fire is sometimes how you have to go, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's, like, such a great thing you were saying.
Totally, totally. And I think another thing about, like, going from visual to audio is very real, and because it's different, but it's also, I've been working on a pilot for about 2 years, a year and a half. And I'm still trying, like, even with that, like, okay, what am I doing with this work? Why is it important? But I also think that, like, writing for writing's sake, or like art for art's sake, is like, it's a form of expression. And for me, it always has been. And I think that's important too, you know? But I think with Murphy, what I was trying to do was like, it was a face your fears type of thing. And that's very, very much evident in everything. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also you two, especially Alex and Annie, you both were doing a lot on top of making sure that the whole process was as smooth as possible, but you were also show running and producing and writing and directing everything and scheduling and all this stuff. So, I mean, you were juggling a lot at the same time. And I think that that, you know, the fact that you were able to do that, I'm sure with a few hiccups, but like you were able to get it all done together. And I mean, I hope we were also as supportive as we could be for you for that and for this season. But you are the captain of the ship, but you are also in a way the ship itself, you know, because you are holding it up for all of us. And that I'm sure can't be easy all the time either.
No. Just imagine myself as a ship.
Like cars?
No, ships.
No, but yeah, like.
Oh, man.
There's cars, then there's planes. Now we just need boats. Sorry, continue.
Continue.
But I do like that analogy of being the captain, but also being the ship. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to balance all that, mm-hmm. totally. But thank you for acknowledging that.
Yeah,
that
I mean, it's your baby, first of all. So, but I think that, you know, we wouldn't be able to do this without you in any sense, besides the fact that this whole thing was your idea. And I really appreciate everything that you've done to help us help you with this as well.
Thank you.
I think something else that we also forget, because I know, Derek, you just brought up like how much Alex and Annie do.
Heavily involved.
Yeah. But something that we often forget is just how tough scheduling is for this show. Because as you're listening, you might think, oh, yeah, these people are all voice actors and they're all writers. But you know what else we all are? We all work jobs.
People.
We're people with lives. And one of the biggest problems is that everyone's working jobs that don't line up with each other in terms of days and hours. And so it'll be, oh, what's everyone's availability? Let's try to make this work. Okay, so it looks like we can record like one person at 9 p.m. Yeah. on a Thursday. That's it. Because no one lines up.
Mm-hmm. If I can interject for a second, because a lot of my job is like, I kind of handle a lot of the coordinating when it comes to the studio. So depending on where our actors are, what their preference is, because we want to make sure we're as accommodating as possible as well for our actors, make sure we give them a great experience. But in that comes complications of not making them have a good experience. I mean, in scheduling, much of what Dennis was saying, there were times like, because some of our friends are also actors, they work night jobs. So it's just kind of like, all right, we can't have you in on this recording day at this time because you work that, but we could just, yeah, get you in at 9 p.m. And just the willingness of people even able to do that is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But it really is just like, I feel like Alex and Dennis can attest to this. Like our brains, like during recording season, I call it busy season, our brains are running 24/7 on Murphy. Like, it's literally like we have so many dates in our head. We have so many people we want to talk to in our head. We have so many things that we have to remember, maybe script changes, who knows, whatever. And just making sure we keep all of that together while also keeping ourselves together. It's fun. It is fun. I actually love my job. Sincerely, love my job. But it also is just, you know, you really have to be great at problem solving, I think, for these kinds of things. So, yeah.
Oh, for sure. And yeah, and of course, it's not everybody, like, the fact that everyone works a different job, that's not their fault. It's
no.
Just, you know, they're doing what they can to survive. Mm-hmm. And surviving nowadays is just, it's tough. Mm-hmm. So thank you to our cast for, yes. you know, braving through it and really being, like, flexible with us and us being flexible with you. And, like, you know, we really do take into account what can work and what doesn't. And we understand it's difficult, but you've all been very, very hardworking, mm-hmm. and we cannot thank you. Like, it's so appreciated. Yeah.
What Annie just said about our brains never, like, you know, never being turned off, essentially. You often will hear that art itself, no matter if you already have a job, is a full-time job. Mm-hmm. It is not. It is an all-the-time job.
Yeah.
Because the difference is your full-time job, you go home. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, there's exceptions, but hopefully you don't keep thinking about that job you know, you go home and you're not thinking about like what you're going to do for work the next day because you wait until you get there and you do your job. With this, you'll be in the shower and stuff will just come to you. You'll be at your job and stuff will come to you. You'll be sleeping and things will come to you. Mm-hmm. It never stops. And it might not even stop when the project's done. Mm-hmm. Like, it's something you're just always thinking about.
Yeah. You'll be Drew going for his run and texting me.
I was literally going to say, Alex, remember my trademarked run ideas?
Oh, of course I do.
Yeah, there's, on my phone in the Voice Memos app, there's just so many things that say, like, song idea number 6, and it's just me quietly singing into my phone with the sound of a forklift operating in the background. And like half of those have become themes on Murphy.
Yes. Forklift included.
Exactly.
Hysterical. No, my favorite thing is like sometimes during busy season, especially, I'll text Alex and be like, I'm telling you this now so I don't forget. And I'll be like, I'm sending it now. You don't have to tell me anything. It just like goes off.
Oh, yeah. You know, something else that has been my favorite process of season 2 so far is every single one of you have messaged me at one point or another just like about your scripts and double checking and mm-hmm. being like, oh, I have a vision about this. And does this work with the story? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about this. And it was just so like, and then I was like, wait, I have to sign off on this. Oops. And then, but it would be so much fun to like have these discussions with everybody. And I think that was something I think we carried over because we didn't really, like Derek said, we were building from the ground up, mm-hmm. you know, so we didn't really know the characters, but now we have so much of like better understanding about all of them.
We have a freaking lore document.
We do have a lore
Hell
document.
Hell yeah.
That Alex put together herself, and it is amazing.
Well,
you know
thank
the Silmarillion?
You.
It's like that, but interesting.
The Murphillion.
The amount of
the Murphillion.
The amount of sticky notes that I have mm-hmm. literally littered all over that thing in tabs is insane. TBH.
It looks like a manifesto, truly.
Well, I mean, everybody here did give me like, you know, background on characters that obviously I didn't create, and so it was all of us, but I did assemble it. Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of moments, especially, like, with revelations in season 1 that have really great, like, you know, mysterious, intense music behind it. Like, for example, when in episode 4, when they're all sitting around the table and the Doulahan comes up in the story, there's a part where, like, all like the background noise stops and it goes into this very like deep, like spooky music. So how do you figure out like what a theme sounds like or like what part is more heavier than others? Like where does that come from?
I mean, well, part of it's like what I said before about like just having like all these voice memos and stuff and coming up with theme ideas. And sometimes, there's different parts of a theme that can just come out in different moments. And I think the Doulahan was an interesting one because there's like this moving theme that the episode starts with. In 3, it's like da 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 kind of thing. But then you also have this like deep, menacing kind of just under everything else. And there's moments where that appears with other music. But I think having it appear by itself there, especially with like taking all the background sound out, really lends itself to like, this is not just a monster per se. It's like, it is death itself.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't really know if that answered, but.
Yeah, it does. And like at the, you know, juxtaposition at the end of that scene, I remember you texted me and you said, hey, the end of this scene, that's Elliot's theme. And I was just like, oh, Elliot has a theme. So, yeah, like, that answered my question.
There's a lot of insane stuff you do, like, during the season in a good way. I love what you've done with episode 5, especially out of the both of the episodes I've written. And also episode 4, all of them. It's all of them. But for you, what would you say was the one that you had the most fun kind of like creating music for?
Well, the whole process is so broad that I might have to say, I have to say episode 6, because it like so much of everything comes together. And I've been thinking, I had been thinking about what I wanted to do for Jack's flashback scene for like months, like ever since I started writing stuff for the show. I'm like, let's get closer to this moment. Let's do it. Because not only in terms of like writing character development and plot and all that kind of stuff, but I feel like because everything comes together, you can do that musically too. And like serve the story that way. But episode 6 was, I think, finales are always fun.
Love the Wilhelm scream in that episode.
That's my favorite part.
That made me so happy.
I forgot it was in there, and I was listening to the episode again, and I laughed out loud on the train, and I think I got a look from somebody.
It's New York. Who's gonna
New
look?
York,
like,
baby.
No one's gonna look.
That's
at you.
Right. That's right.
It's that was one of those moments that I'm like, why not?
Yeah.
because like, I'm not gonna do a lot of stuff like that in the show that's just for the sake of being fun and cool. But there's so much already happening in that scene that I was like, I can put this in here. Lord of the Rings put this in here.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Like, are you saying that Peter Jackson and Tolkien are better than the Wilhelm scream? No.
Nobody's above the Wilhelm scream.
Exactly, yeah. And it's like, it was kind of funny because it's this gray area of copyright where it is a copyrighted sound effect, but because it has circulated so much in movies and no one can really figure out how to attribute it to someone, that it kind of belongs to the internet now.
Yeah.
So you can just use it as long as you use the one that's like the one that circulates.
Right.
Thanks, internet.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
On a more general question for Dennis, I'm really interested to know, like, what your inspiration was for, like, the musical landscape of the show. Like, what influenced your composing of the music while you were composing it?
So I actually have a Spotify playlist.
Oh, hell yeah.
That I have of just various pieces of music that inspired the show's music. And, it's all sorts of different stuff, but I've said that, like, I think the four biggest inspirations were Murray Gold's work on Doctor Who, Mark Griske's music on Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2.
Excellent.
Howard Shore's work on Lord of the Rings, and David Arnold's work on Sherlock.
I can see that.
Yeah.
The first piece of anything that I wrote for this was the Murphy, like the main theme, and then shortly after, because that's the, again, going back to like grad school, there's like Capstone 1 on one semester, and then there's Capstone 2, and Capstone 1 was really frustrating, I think, for everyone, because I was like, hey, recording's not starting until February, you know, next semester. So here's what I have. And it's like just the Murphy theme and just Jack's theme. And I was like, I can't show you anything else. And Pat was like, okay, I'm going to trust you on this. And it kind of worked out.
You also did music supervision.
I did.
For some, there are some songs in the show that are not original music. So anytime they're in a cafe or a bar or something, what was that like to reach out to those artists and ask them, like, hey, I'm doing this thing. Can I use your song for this scene? And talk about like some of the artists that you worked with.
Yeah. So, I mean, what was interesting about this is that I didn't have to do like the negotiating sort of part, because we did not have to, thankfully, because we are a very small independent show, like pay out people for like the use of their music, because most of the people that I asked were people that like we all like know, various people who we went to purchase with, other friends of ours, and the only one that aside from like the public domain music that I think I used in like episodes 4 and 5, which was mostly just like, you know, to stay like Irish and stuff that I really have no business doing. was episode 3 having like the club music. And I'm like, I would like this to be authentic, but this should come to no surprise. I don't know anyone who writes Romanian club music. So,
oh, I do.
So I ended up just like going, it was like several hours through Spotify and just looking up something that would work and just, you know, playing like 10 seconds of a song, being like, nope, on to the next one. And eventually I found In Culori by Alex Kravitz. So I was just like, oh man, this would really work for this. Unfortunately, I don't know him. I wonder how to contact him. And I looked him up and he just has like a Facebook page, and I just messaged him. I'm like, hey, here's this project. Could I use it? And he's like, yeah, sure. And he just sent me back like the contract signed and everything. I'm like, it was that easy?
Absolutely.
<king. laughs> I was like money? And he's like, no, it's fine. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
And just got it. And I'm like, okay, this works perfectly for this because it's actually authentic. Yeah.
Wow.
Absolute king. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you.
But yeah, music supervision is not an easy thing to do.
I'm sure. Especially when it's like, you know, when it comes to the creative team, and then you have sort of the production team, and then you have sound. I'm just saying sound because it's just you. I'm sure it's also hard in that regard where it's like, you are the captain of that ship, driving that ship. You are the ship. It's a lot of putting things together.
Well, that's also the funny thing is that like the most minor moment in a script can lead to hours of research. Like it'll be like rock music playing and I'm like, okay, here we go. Gotta find a song. Gotta find a song to use. Or it'll be like, this was honestly kind of a funny one, but when Jack like wakes up hungover and there's a toilet flushing.
Oh shit.
No, it's totally fine. Cause it was, I was like, wait a second. They're in Europe.
How do toilets flush in Europe?
It was a rabbit hole. Wow. It was a rabbit hole because like, I knew that like, you know, toilets are kind of just different everywhere and everything's different everywhere. And I spent hours trying to find out. It's like 2:30 in the morning, and I'm sitting here watching a video from 2009 that somebody posted of a toilet flushing in Scotland.
This just really proves you can find anything on the internet.
Yeah, you can find anything.
If any of our Romanian listeners have an issue with how the toilet sounded in episode 3, please contact us.
Or like the most complicated sound design in the entire season, I'm pointing at Annie.
I feel like I know what you're talking about.
It was the train station in episode 2.
Oh yeah, because each train station is different across.
Because I think the sound cue said something like train announcements, like the sound of a train coming in, and I went, they're in York. And I'm like, this has to be at least somewhat accurate. So I looked up how to like, oh, how does the train work over there? And how many platforms are there at this station? Is it like indoor? And I found out that it's like partially enclosed. And then it came down to like, what do the announcements sound like? Can I just use the announcements? No, they are copyrighted. Okay, so, and I ended up finding the most random thing you could ever find on the internet, which is some guy for some, I don't remember if it was a programming project in grad school or something, but someone made this like generator for UK train announcements and recorded his own voice on it and made it a public domain thing. And absolutely. So you would like,
king.
You would like look at this thing and say, there is a fill in the blank cross country line train to at whatever at this time. And
that's incredible.
I just recorded that and put it over and I'm like, This was a rabbit hole for like a two-line sound cue.
Now I need to...
And now that tab is saved forever on your desktop, I'm sure.
Now going back and writing. Now I need to be careful with my sound cues.
You don't have to be careful when it comes to stuff like that. That's just me trying to be accurate.
No, and that's important.
I would argue that accuracy is pretty important, considering that like none of us are from the UK. Dennis and I only just got back. We went to England for our honeymoon, and we were in York, and honestly, it was the coolest thing ever. We just like we were kind of like walking around and being like, oh, maybe Jack could live here, and like this is the cafe where they met Cirilla, and like all this stuff. Like we were like, but then we saw it and we were like, oh wow, like this is, you know, because you can look at pictures online, but experiencing it and being in the place is like completely different. So I think the research was like super important for this season.
Did you take out your phone and like sample some of the sound effects that
you could flush a toilet in New York?
I almost brought my my recorder, but I was like, you know, if at any point we need more stuff for that, it should match the season itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I can just use like the same kind of ambient sound effects that I've already been using. Season two, as we've hinted towards, right, it's America.
Yeah.
And so I do plan on getting a little bit more accurate, like going out and recording stuff. Because why not? We're here.
Why not?
Might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That actually is a good segue because I do want to briefly talk about season two. Obviously not like super, super deep story details, but we can talk about, because we did mention it briefly, like, the process is completely different. I came prepared. I had a whole PowerPoint on the outline of season two.
It's a great PowerPoint.
If you saw our TikTok. Way back when of Alex dancing, that's what it was for.
I decided to make an entrance for this meeting, and I was shameless in it, and it was the most chaotic thing I've ever done, but I would gladly do it again.
She's so crazy.
I'm just so unpredictable.
My girl's so silly.
I'm such a loose cannon.
Oh, my God.
She's such a wild card.
I'm tendering my resignation.
You're such a loosey goose.
I'm so sorry. It's okay. So, but I basically was like, here's like the general thing, and like this is what we're following, and then I had everybody like pitch their episodes, which was really fun. And then I approved them, and then we started outlining. And the outlining process, because Annie and I were trying to figure out like, okay, like maybe we're gonna need like 2 days for this and everything and whatever, and then we ended up getting all of them done in one session, and it was just so, because we know what we're doing now.
Yeah, dude.
I hate to say it like that, but it is true. Like we now have, Derek called it a roadmap. It's exactly what we have, and we were just going off that, and then everybody started drafting, and so we are in the middle. We have third drafts due at time of recording. So we're moving right along, and it's so exciting, and reading everyone's stuff, you guys are not ready. Just gonna say that.
I'm so excited.
It's a very exciting season.
Yeah, we
are thrilled, truly.
And we're in the States, and you know, we start from like over on the West Coast, and we make our way east. And I won't tell you why, but that is for later.
Secret.
But it's crazy when show up. Sorry.
Man, I can't wait to cut that.
I know. I was like, this is going to get cut, but I have to.
My favorite episode is when Drew got fired from the writing team.
For breaching the NDA.
Hey, that's this episode.
Drew crossed his fingers when he signed the NDA. So I'm that's sorry. No longer legally binding.
I had to say it. I really it's all did. Right. I know it's going to get cut. I was just like, I have to say it.
But yeah, so all the stuff that it's... And, you know, we just reached out to the cast to like, bring them back because they've been on hiatus this entire time. So I know they're all super excited to get back, at least I hope. And then we start recording very shortly, and that's going to be...
a lot. And you'll totally know if you follow us on Instagram and everything, you'll know when we start recording.
Cause we're going to be really annoying about
it. We are going to be really annoying about it. But it's just so exciting. And I think that, like, for season two, because of how, I don't want to say season one wasn't refined, but season two is definitely a little more refined. And, you know, it's going to be scarier. It's going to be funnier. It's going to be just so many things. And I want to talk about it so badly.
And if we are annoying about it, just think about this. If you're not annoying about the stuff that you make, do you really have confidence in it?
Hey.
So let us be annoying.
But if you'd like us to stop, you can always just send us money.
That's
true. We need money.
I wanted to ask you, in a way, I'm going to ask you this. Mm-hmm. What is something you can say to describe season two without giving too much away? Like, I guess, like an adjective or maybe like a phrase. Obviously, we know, but just, I guess, an anticipation.
I'm gonna think about this for a second.
Go for it.
I'm gonna say bigger. I think it's gonna be bigger than season one. Yeah. I can also say this, even though it's not describing the season, but it is more Murphy focused as well. Where season one was Jack focused, and now we learn more about, like, her upbringing and her time in Parliament and things like that. And we meet some new characters and stuff. And it's just, yeah, but I think it is bigger because of how much ground we cover, but also in the sense that there are 8 episodes instead of 6. And I think that we have bigger fish to fry in season 2. So it's just, there's a lot of big stuff happening, and God, we cannot wait. Mm-hmm. So that's all we'll say for now. But yeah, the process for season 2 has been, you know, much more streamlined.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that the best part is because we're all excited about it, and we're all like, okay, now we know what we're doing. Here's all my ideas, and the places we go and the creatures that we see are just so, like, if you grew up in, I mean, if I feel like some of them are pretty popular, but, like, even mm-hmm. if you grew up in the States, you would be like, oh, yeah, of course I know about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would just like to, I just want to shout out Liz Lister.
Yes.
Because I mentioned doing live music, but... Liz, if you're listening to this, please raise your rates, because the amount of work that you do, the amount of work that she does is insane. If you have not heard of her, look her up, because I found her from this video where some guy was like, I'm going to pay random musicians on Fiverr to play meme songs. And she did like an entire orchestral arrangement of Megalomania from Undertale for like $40.
What?
And I'm like, I wonder if I can find her on Fiverr. And that's how I ended up working with her. And yeah, all the strings you hear, the reason it sounds good is because of Liz. So
she's incredible, honestly. Yeah. Anytime you send me the string stuff, I'm like, oh, chills.
Yeah, I've written stuff that I'm like, ooh, I think this is gonna sound really cool, and I'm never prepared for it. I'm never prepared to like get the recordings back and be like, because it's not the first time I've ever used live musicians, but, oh, just, yeah.
Oh. Does anybody else have any closing thoughts?
Check us out on Redbubble.
We have merch.
Yeah, we do have merch. So you can find us on Redbubble, all the store. We have stickers. We have tote bags. We have t-shirts. We have the Ghostly Muse logo, which is that adorable little ghost with the headphones. If you haven't seen it, I love it. And we also have, I think this is my favorite thing, the stickers with all the quotes from the main 3. Those are, I think, my favorite thing on there, because I just think they're hilarious. But yeah, check us out there. You can follow us on Instagram. We have a Facebook page as well, at Merlin's Monsters, same title as this podcast. And yeah, stay tuned for updates, because we got stuff coming, all exciting stuff. And, you know, thank you for listening. And thank you for understanding that we are a skeleton crew. Yeah, but we're doing the best, and we are doing better than our best, I think, this season.
Yes.
So, yeah.
One more thing to plug is pretty soon, keep an eye on the TikToks. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah, we are on TikTok.
It's all the same ads, but just keep your eyes out.
Mm-hmm. Iceland is in the North Atlantic. Its capital city is Reykjavik.
Great.
That's definitely a closing thought. Anyways.
Goodbye.
Anyway, goodbye, everybody. Bye. Thank you for listening. We'll see you very soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Ghostly Nears Production.